from PRX.
Friends beyond binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's, I'm on the creaky side. I'm on the creaky side of Dulcet. I don't know why that makes me think of like a 90s TV show. I don't think there was, Dawson's Creek. That's probably why. Was that in the aughts or the 90s? On the creaky side of Dawson. Could I have ever been, there was a show, there was a, it was a teen kind of soap opera. I think it was the 90s. Maybe it was the aughts, called Dawson's Creek. I think you're with me, you know, thus far. If you're not, you could check it out. I don't know if it had had a resurgence or not. But what if someone, I don't know where you'd be. Like, if Dawson lives, Dawson's Creek. I'm on the creaky side of Dawson. That would be I think it was the town of Dawson's Creek, right? Well, boy, I'm off topic early. I guess I got to get back to this. Maybe I'll remember it because I forgot this is just the very beginning of the podcast, not even the intro. Welcome, by the way, to Sleep With Me. Whether your name's Dawson, Pacey, or any of the other characters whose names I can't think of, Pacey's just a very, like, Dawson was the name of the show. Pacey's just a memorable name. I'm surprised that it's in my brain. To be honest, I said, how come the filing system for a show I barely ever watched, though I did aspire to be some characters and had crushes on other characters, how come that is so readily available? But when for actually anything useful, or if they said, okay, Final Jeopardy is Dawson's Creek, I would not, they'd say, rhymes with Count Basie, a character on Dawson's Creek for Final Jeopardy. I'd have nothing in there. Basie? Maisie. I put question mark. Paisley? No. So this is the very opening of a podcast called Sleep With Me. It's a podcast to help you feel less alone in the deep, dark night. If you just tuned in, you might be like, what's this guy so excited about? Well, I mean, remembering Pacey, obviously, that's pretty exciting. But there's other things I'm excited about. It's to keep you company in the deep, dark night, to let you know you're not alone and that you deserve a good night's sleep. That's really what I'm excited about, to see if this show can help. It does take most people two or three tries to get used to this podcast. It's just what hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have said. And I don't think we're up to multiple millions, but probably a million people have said that. They said, at first, I didn't like this show. I didn't get it. Why were you in such a good mood? Where were the chimes? Where was the steady, calm voice and the breathing? I say, well, this show's a little bit different. It's like your friend in the deep, dark night. So just give it a few tries, see how it goes. We also have a website with other sleep stuff on there, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. So you could check that out if you already know. You say, for the love of James Vanderbeek, I say, okay, I understand. I'd say that's a weird thing to be like, because I didn't say anything. I only have good things to say about, that's one of the people, I mean, that hair particularly. I couldn't aspire to it because my hair couldn't do that, but I mean, I'd aspire to have the essence of Dawson also available in my imagination. New scent, about 25 years too late, but essence of Dawson with made its only imaginary creek water, but not from Dawson's Creek or any creeks because it's imaginary. Oh, so this is a podcast to keep you company while you fall asleep. We got coming up is support. This show's free. Great news. You don't got to pay for it. Then a long meandering intro. You don't want to miss out on, even if you don't like support of the show or whatever, because it's meant to ease you into bedtime. We'll obviously be talking more about how to be on the creaky side of Dawson. Wouldn't want to be on the cranky side of Dawson, though. I don't know if Dawson was cranky. I didn't watch enough episodes. Maybe like in between, not in between takes, but you know, Dawson had to live a regular life when they only show the interesting parts on that show. Sunsets, minor, you say, I wrote a poem in my notebook and this person thought, I don't know if that was a plot of an episode and they thought it was about them, but it was really about them. And But what was I saying? Long meandering intro. That's meant to ease you into bedtime. Then we'll have a bedtime bedtime story where we'll look at a Buster Keaton film, a silent movie. That'll be put you right to sleep or keep you company. So that's the structure of the show. I make the show, like I said, because you deserve a good night's sleep. So I'm glad you're here. And these sponsors are what enable me to do it for you for free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep Movie Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? How much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep and your body, is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side, I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporters on the one part of the podcast. I need you here. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors or took action. And I'm looking for a specific type of listener, 1 out of 10 listeners. If you're that 1 person out of 10, you know, I know there's listeners who can't afford to support the show. I know there's people who just don't want to. I know that people are like, well, one day I'll support the show. Or, you know, I'm sure someone else will. I'm more wondering if you're the other listener, the 1 out of 10 listeners. I really need you to either set an alarm right now, set a reminder, or take action in 1 of 3 ways. You could free support the show by spreading the word, letting somebody know about the podcast, sharing about your favorite episodes, sharing about the podcast on social media, actively spreading the word about the show, becoming a subscriber, paying for a free podcast. That's by far the most powerful way to support the show. Or supporting a sponsor, also very powerful. Signing up for a free trial, going to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And then if you are one of those listeners who's doing it right now, or setting your alarm right now for tomorrow, or reminder, let me know about it so I could say thank you. Because this is it. It's 10 years of the podcast, and it's time to look at what we're going to do in the future. And I got a lot of plans I want to do. I want to keep making this podcast, and I want to do some more fun stuff, but it's a two-way street. So we only need, the beauty is, I just need your help. So let me know once you do that, so I could say thank you on behalf of me and the other 9 listeners, and on behalf of all the listeners who benefit from you taking that action. So thank you so much. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Second part is you getting the support you need right now. If you need extra resources, there's links in the show notes where you could take action, including international resources. It's about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying Stop AAP, I Hate, not just saying Support Ukraine, but taking action, learning more. There's resources where you could do that. There's also organizations you could support in our show notes. One of the communities Sleep With Me is part of, though, is the Sleep Podcast community. And there's a Sleep podcast I want you to check out. It's called Northwoods Baseball Sleep Radio. Now, get this. It is one of the most ambitious podcasts, not even a sleep podcast, one of the most ambitious podcasts I've ever seen, one of the most creative, one of the most amazing, and one that transports you. Northwoods Baseball Sleep Radio is a full-length fake baseball broadcast for sleeping. Available wherever you get your podcasts, right in your podcast app, or at sleepbaseball.com. I mean, this thing, imagine like during the day if you need a break, or at night to fall asleep to, listening to a baseball game full of humor, full of sleepy tangents. I mean, no offense, but who hasn't dozed off during a baseball game, right? And I've always listened to baseball in the background when I'm doing physical work or driving. So what an amazing idea. And it's made by an amazing person and a friend of mine. So check it out. Northwoods Baseball Sleep Radio in your podcast app of choice. Thanks, everybody. Oh, Mr. Bard, a lot of people work out very hard on this show. Who are they?
This posty poster song sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at Jonathanman.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story. support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. Don't forget, if you're looking for sleep phones, the most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones and use Sleep With Me at checkout. We've got beautiful Sleep With Me branded sleep phones, so it's merch and it's a comfortable way to listen to the show. They've got a bunch of different options, corded, wireless, wireless charging ones. So check it out at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. And now let's slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. What we do is a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind you're thinking about the past, present, future, TV shows, streaming shows. It could be thoughts about anything. It could be emotions related to those thoughts or feelings that are just there, physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, schedule, work schedule, travel, guests, anticipation, dread. Whatever it is, the reason I kind of go through all that is to let you know you're not alone. There's other people listening right now. And while I might not know exactly what you're going through, I can guess it's probably not easy. And I can probably relate to how it feels. I don't know if it feels anything like, when I can't sleep or when I'm when I'm thinking thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. If I can't relate to how it feels, somebody listening right now probably can. And it's important to know, like for you to know, we're alone together and we're together alone or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if there's a quaint way to say it ever, but it's not easy in the deep, dark night. That's why I call it the deep, dark night. But this podcast is a little bit of a salve, just to let you know, hey, there's other people listening that know how I feel and that believe you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a bedtime where you get the rest you need so your life is more manageable. A bedtime you don't have to dread. A bedtime you could feel neutral about or look forward to. So, that's really what this show's here to provide. To be a friend in the deep, dark night that keeps you company, that takes your mind off stuff, a friendly presence. And also the idea that there's other friendly presences out there listening along at the same time as you that don't think, hey, why don't you just try to sleep harder or whatever? Why don't you close your eyes tighter? That say, hey, this is tough. And I really do want to get some rest. So that's why I make the show. Those are the two reasons I make the show. What I do is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, which you've already seen, creaky related pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, where I go off topic and I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I still keep talking. And if you're new or you're a regular listener, believe it or not, James Vanderbeek and Dawson's Creek have come up before in this intro. I don't know when and I don't know what I talked about. Maybe I talked about the creaky side of Dawson, but this one, I don't know if I laid out a geographic definition of it. Because, let's use our imagination because it's imaginary place. One, you'd have to say, how can you define a creaky side of town? And I'd say, well, if you were in a conversation with somebody else and you were physically closer to the creek than them and you were in town or on the side of town that was closer to the creek, you'd be on the creaky side of town. So that would be one way to define it, an easy way. But let's also say that Dawson's Creek has a creaky tone. Let's just imagine it's actual, like a Hollywood creek. I don't know if it was filmed in Hollywood, but I don't mean it like people say it like pish posh. I mean a glamorized creek or an idealized creek. Scoots, how do you, well, it has to be creaky. I mean, come on. We all, I mean, let's not like bandy about, this isn't a debatable thing. Is it, can there be an idealized Greek? Yes, there can. What is my, okay, I'll just give you my definition of an idealized Greek. Like it's creaky, like, there's a lot of swishing water, maybe not any giant, you know, rocks, it's rushing, it's swishing, it's swashing. And maybe it has in certain hollows or areas a creaky tone. So that would be the other thing. So then you could get into, you say, we were having multiple definitions within the Dawson's Creek city. No, we don't have to be in the city limits. In the vicinity of Dawson's Creek, in the vicinity of Dawson's Creek, within the hamlet of Dawson's Creek, if you can hear the creek, then you're definitely, wherever you are in conversation, you're on the creaky side of Dawson. So you could say, I just thought of a terrible joke, about cranky Dawson. Hopefully I'll remember. It's not even, I mean, it's not terrible. It's just not funny, but, just using Scoots, cause a lot of people don't find me. You say, how do I know I'm on the cranky side of Dawson? What's the cranky side of Dawson? You say, well, if you Scoot, whatever side of the room Scoots is sleeping on, if they're roommates, that would be the cranky side of Dawson. Whatever side Scoots is on, that's the cranky side of Dawson. The person, was James Vanderbeek Dawson? I don't even know, honestly. That would be embarrassing. And not the first time I've gone on tons of tangents. Well, that would be interesting. Maybe he wasn't, because did he own the creek? That's a problem then. I mean, yeah, it'd be strange if there was a character and he lived in Dawson's Creek, but I don't think I should look. I don't think I should spoil it. But by the way, I think that's the best definition of the creaky side of Dawson. If you're in any town that has a creek that's named Dawson, like, so if you just live in Dawson, you could say I can hear the creek. I'm on the creaky side of Dawson. Because that would be, it wouldn't be a very good way to find somebody if you were supposed to meet up. You say, meet me on the creaky side of Dawson. You'd say, well, that's like a 18-mile span because the creek's really loud. Well, sorry, I got the idea from a sleep podcaster. You're right. So there you go. Meet me on the creaky side of Dawson. Some people might say, meet me on the cranky side of Dawson, because that would be fun. We'd have a sleepover or whatever. Okay, I think that's enough, though, about Dawson's Creek. But what about Sleep With Me? Okay, well, a couple things to know. I said why I make the show. This podcast does take some getting used to. I think I said it before. It takes the average listener 2 or 3 tries to get used to the podcast, because it's a podcast you just kind of listen to, clearly, right? I'm just, maybe, I thought Pacey was another character, so I'm pretty sure that it was Dawson. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, Dawson's Creek's only a relevant pop culture reference for a very thin slice of people, I don't know, between the ages of what? Like 50 and 30? 50 and 20? No, I don't know. So, but that's not important either. You could look it up. You'd say, holy cow, Scoots was right about only one thing. That there may have been a creek. There was a show called Dawson's Creek at one point in history. Scoots was right about that. And James Vanderbeek was on it. And there was a character named Pacey. So he had 3 things correct. He goes by Jim Vanderbeek now. I'm just kidding. But that would be pretty cool if he did. You say, no, he goes by Jimmy Vanderbeek. If I met him, I'd say, could I call it? I mean, I would eventually ask him. I'd say, do you mind if I call you Jimmy? Jimmy VB? No, Jimmy Vanderbeek. I'd like to call him Jimmy the Vanderbeek, but okay, so where was I? Was I trying to introduce a sleep podcast? Holy cow. Regular listeners are just laughing along with me, barely. Okay, so this is a podcast you just barely listen to. It's kind of like an elevated background noise. But it has a certain insensibility, right? It's a nonsensibility. It's meant to kind of barely make you laugh and barely be entertained. Because the show is not here to put you to sleep. The reason episodes are over an hour, The reason the show comes out twice a week, the reason I make every single episode different and put a lot of work into the show is because I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, to take your mind off of stuff. If you fall asleep, there's people who are listening who can't sleep or need a break during the day. And I'm just here to be here for you while you drift off, to be your friend in the deep, dark night, your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar burr, your boar bee, your boar bud. I don't know, boar bruh. So like, it's kind of like somebody, you called somebody and said, hey, tell me about your breakfast for an hour while I fall asleep, or just to comfort me. And I say, that's what I'm here to do, to be your boyfriend. So those are a couple things to know. The other things to know is that the show, it doesn't work for everybody. Structurally, the show is designed in a very specific way. Now, you could adjust how you listen as you become a regular listener, but let me just tell you at first, the structure. The show starts off with a greeting. That way you feel seen and welcomed in, and you say, hey, I might check this podcast out. Then there's a support, so the show can be free, paying for it's optional. And then there's a long meandering intro meant to ease you into bedtime. And this is show within a show. Some people would get so, you wouldn't believe the strength of the, even though we have sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou, but the support is separate from the intro. And the intro is really a show within a show meant to ease you into bedtime slowly, to quiet down the day. And that's why the intro goes on and on and on. That's why the intro is different every single time. I mean, who would have known we'd be talking about Dawson's Creek, and I'd look it up and probably realize that they're like, that I'm incorrect about multiple things, which is okay, because I'm not perfect, right? That's one of the keys about the show, why people keep coming back. They say, oh, Scoots has got a little bit extra human in him, even when he's just making a podcast to put his best foot forward. His shoes or shoelaces or socks shows his humanity. What does that have to do with the intro? Meant to ease you into bedtime. Oh, so some people are listening while they're in bed, getting comfortable. Other people are getting ready for bed or doing some other wind down activity. It's like a landing strip. Then there's support, and then there'll be a bedtime story to be a Buster Keaton movie. And then there's thank yous at the end. So Dawson's Creek, according to Wikipedia, it's a teen drama television series, Cape Side, Massachusetts. Went from 98 to 2003, so late 90s to the early aughts. Dawson Leary was James Vanderbeek. Pacey, I was correct. So I said, I was correct about a couple things. I was just trying to figure out why it's called Dawson's Creek. It was on the WB. Dawson, 15-year-old filmmaker. Okay, I don't know. But whatever. Well, let's just imagine the town was called Dawson and his name was Dawson. Or whatever. I mean, all those analogies still work. One, for a sleep podcast, but two, for a town called Dawson. It still works. Dawson's Creek. This is the creek that runs through Dawson. This particular creek is named Dawson's Creek. Our town's named Dawson. It could be any. You'd need only one creek, because if it was a town with multiple. Oh, Dawson. We're the creek capital of the world, man. We got more creeks than you can shake one of those water finding things at that Scoots can't think about what they're called. One of those sticks that finds water at. So the analogy would work better if the town was called Dawson and there was one creek. If it was called Dawson's Creek, that wouldn't work, because you couldn't say you'd still say I'm on the creeky side of Dawson. If you said I'm on the creeky side of Dawson's Creek, you'd say, what does that mean? Is there a difference between the two sides of the creek? So anyway, that's everything you need to know, is that I know very little, but I'm here to keep you company, maybe make you barely smile, and help ease you into bedtime. So I'm so glad you're here. I really appreciate you coming by, and I really hope I work hard and I yearn and I strive. I hope I can help you fall asleep. And these are a couple ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. All right, everybody, Scoots here. We're doing another one of these Buster Keaton things. Buster Keaton, sleeping with Buster Keaton. I don't think that's what I called it. But, this movie's called Balloon Bud, and we'll see if we can make sense of it. It's 22 minutes or 23 minutes, depending on the version you find. And it's 1923, but we'll run through it. I think it's sleepy. And then we'll see how long it takes me to meander. Maybe we'll do two movies, or maybe we'll stop and look stuff up. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. So this was a first national picture, Buster Keaton and Balloon Buds. Name may have been changed to become more sleepy. Eddie Klein and Buster Keaton have written and directed. Buster's in quotes. And oh boy, does it start off. I was like, did this really, how it started off? Okay, so it starts off with, first off, you say, time travel possibility right to start, because his face is lit by a cell phone. And I like how I think the couple things that worked the first couple times I watched this is, well, one, his face may be lit by a cell phone. So his face is lit from below. I think he's wearing makeup, and you could kind of see how he's known for having a face with an expressionless face. I think this is also the movie where I decided, one day I'll pitch a Buster Keaton, not a biopic, but I think I know Javier Bardem should play Buster Keaton at some point in the future, or a Buster Keaton-like character. And maybe, I don't know, I never watched the director's commentary or any interviews around that movie he was in with Josh Brolin. Actually, I have watched behind-the-scenes stuff about that movie. The movie's called A Country Where We Grow Old Together, Happily Together. Josh Brolin, Tommy Lee Jones, and Javier Bardem. And, like other people grow, like a country where we all grow old together. His character, there's a lot of movement. I don't know. It was just striking to me, maybe just me though. But I don't know if it was in this movie, because I've watched a lot of Buster Keaton in the last 2 weeks. Okay, so anyway, he's got his hat on. He's got a tie and a coat on. His face is lit from below. Everything else is dark. It does look like a cell phone. Then he blows it out, though, so it's a light. And then he's in a room, and there's a lot of comedy, physical comedy, obviously. So he's in some sort of bedroom, or I don't know, hall, like a big living room. He goes to one door. He looks around. He opens the door, and there's a surprise that says, "Hello, why don't you jump in surprise?" Then he goes to another door, and there's a fog machine inside that door. Also, to the left of the door is a chair. Now, these chairs, I know not everybody's from my generation, and I don't know if this was just a generational thing before my generation, but they're used to, so it has this chair that people, like, at least we had one in my house, like a really high back chair. And I'm not talking about just a high backed chair. It's a chair that looks terribly uncomfortable, is terribly uncomfortable, somewhat fancy. I mean, and I didn't live in a fancy house either. Usually it's like, if you were to label the chair, if it was ever actually used, you say that's the chair where you tie your shoes, or when someone comes in and they just sit down right away, that's the chair. It's like an entrance hall, high back chair. So high that Buster Keaton standing up, the back of the chair is almost as tall as him. And ours had a wicker back and a wicker butt, which with six kids, I know it was replaced at least once in our life. Because you know, if kids, if you're listening, don't do this to wicker stuff. I don't know if it was wicker, but it's round. I think that was wicker. I don't know. Or some sort of, steak knife. Don't do it though. But you can't help yourself when you're a kid. But do, if you're listening to this podcast, don't do it. Help everybody. And don't do what Scoots would ever do. Like, you use that as a life lesson. Let Scoots do it for you. Because it turns out it comes with consequences and regrets. So that we had that chair. Ours was, it had some sort of paint on it, like swirlies, and it was like kind of like a black lacquer. But there's just one to the left of this door with the fog machine. So he opens it. He's surprised to see fog. So he closes that door because he says, I don't want to see what else is in the fog. Then he goes to a third door. And So he goes to that door. First, he says, well, let me get a statue in case whatever surprises me really surprises me. So he grabs a statue to the side of the door, then opens the door. And there's a really large effect. It's a double doors, and it's a animated, large animated figure from like a role-playing game. Even, I think there's even smoke. I don't know. For some reason, this version of YouTube doesn't have the bounce back. So I can only, but so he's surprised by that so much that he falls down. Then this has got to be the highlight. I don't even know. So this, like, this movie may, for Sleep With Me listeners and Scoots, peak way too early. And let me just see if this is a real thing. Maybe let me look it up. Okay, let me explain it to you first. Okay, so he, like, goes to open this third door. Grabs a statue, opens the third door, is surprised by this, like, 5 feet tall, 5 feet wide, large being, like, that could, like, have different flavors of breath, may have even had steam coming out its mouth, that's just in the door, that, like, pushes forward into the doorway to surprise him. So then he, like, finds a door in the floor, kind of like a door for stage performances, and that door opens up. Okay, then we cut. Then it cuts when he goes through the floor, and we see outside, we're at some sort of seaside amusement or what are those things called? Boardwalk amusement. Now, I'm not making any of this up either. And that's why I say this peaked early. There's something called the House of Trouble. And right when I paused it, there's just barely a minute in. It has a large thing, the House of Trouble. We're getting right now, it's a wide shot. And there's someone outside advertising for it in a suit, like barking, you know, saying, come on in, the House of Trouble. So the house, like, if you ever wondered what it was like inside of Scoots' brain, we've just seen it in three acts and three doorways, fog, something way bigger, and something from the past, you know. Past, future, imagination, $0.05. I think it does have a price coming up. There's a few people walking by. There's someone also in a ticket booth, which is like, it seems to be, what is that called? Like a ticket booth is sunken in. And then on the roof of the ticket booth is a slide. But the slide goes right outside. My goodness. Like it's very comedic too. But there's a slide that just goes out of the House of Trouble right onto the side of the like the sidewalk. So gently for Buster Keaton. And I think it'll zoom in next. Let's just see. Let's hit play again. So he lands, he sits down, he looks behind him. 10 cents, trouble, get into trouble, 10 cents. And this dude's like, come on in, House of Trouble, slide on out. There's probably other ways outside of this House of Trouble. Then a woman comes and pays. She goes up to the thing. And she's very happy. She's totally optimistic. She's like giggling when she gets her ticket and hands it to her. Now, I think, I don't know if Keaton is like being, he's like, well, I got to go. He goes, I don't know what that, is that Schadenfreude? And they say, what are you talking about, dude? This is the House of Trouble. You get into trouble for 10 cents, just 10 cents. Good question. How much was 10 cents in 1923? I looked up House of Trouble, but that's kind of a general term. How? Okay, this can't be right. No, that's for retirement. 10 cents adjusted for inflation since 1923, $1.76. So, yeah, $2. Okay, so makes sense. Actually, it's a bargain because usually, but anyway, even at 10 cents in 1923 dollars. So then Keaton sits down, this carnival person or whatever is advertising. And yeah, he is, Keaton is in for, well, let's look up Schadenfreude and let's see if Scoots can learn some stuff here. Yeah, this is the one time I'm actually using a word correctly. Pleasure from somebody else is not having to work out, which you could say by viewing this, you're doing it, but we're not, we're delving in. So then he sits down, then he gets up off the curb, he clears out, there's like a couple leaves or something on the area where the slide should end. And clearly it's a relatable character. And I mean, I read into a little bit of Keaton's history, so he is relatable to me in more than, but he's not a patient, his character is not a patient person. Then he sits back down and then he stands back up, then he can't wait. And then he tries to like flirt with somebody walking by. That doesn't go well. So then he has a low letdown. And then they say, you want some Schadenfreude? And then the woman comes down the slide and like gently arrives with Keaton, connects with Keaton. She says so much fun. She goes right back in. And that's the end of that sequence. But let's just see. I mean, I looked up, it's just a hard, well, let's go to this other tab. There's a lot of things called the House of Trouble. And Mickey Mouse Funhouse, no. House of Trouble lyrics, Funhouse. So I don't know if we'll ever know. I mean, not right now, but I don't know. I had no idea there'd be something called the House of Trouble. Where he'd be surprised. But then he goes off and then he sees, I think it's the same woman he was trying to flirt with. She's trying to cross a puddle. This was always the thing, I guess, in silent films, in cartoons, which like with Looney Tunes, like with Bugs Bunny and maybe even Donald Duck. Like this was a staple of these type of cartoons. There was a time. And you always say, like, what happened? Like, kids today say, what's up with these adults? You know, and they, like, you say, okay, well, here's the thing. When we were, our value system was based on consumption of media to encourage us to eat for sugared cereal mostly. and, you know, drink juice boxes that contain no juice, and fruit by the foot, which is, I don't know if that contained any fruit either, but, or the, what were they called? Before they had fruit by the foot, it was the roll-ups. But by the way, like during that consumption, like one of the standard values from the past, because we're already watching rerun cartoons, so I don't even know when these cartoons were made. There was this thing that said one of the value system our society has is that, like there's something with puddles, and puddles form a huge bear, like a huge opportunity for romance and chivalry, but also a huge challenge. And so this is what happens here, is there's a puddle, but usually it's also set up as an expectation, in this case very well, but because we've been set up with this expectation enough, it doesn't, it's not as surprising as the whole House of Trouble thing, which, because this movie actually has like a very cold, like I would say a cold open, you just get Keaton in this room. But so he goes and tries to lay his jacket down to show his chivalrousness, and if, like, she goes and steps in his jacket, gets in a car with another dude, and they drive off. Then his jacket's soaking wet. Then we see Yield Mill. This must be a movie. Also, there's like a. So then he's like a, like flirtatious or something. He sees this woman go to a movie, Yield Mill. Or is it a ride? I guess it's a, another ride. But there was an ice cream for sale. I wanted to see how much that ice cream was. Can we go back? Yeah. So there's also an ice cream stand behind in the background. So I wanted to price that out as well if we can. So I rewound it. She's getting picked up in a car, some sort of, you know, T-model type of car. 1923 was when the, okay, so soft drinks of all makes, Crescent ice cream. Oh, I missed it again. Maybe we'll get another shot of it. 1 cent for something? Wish I had the thing where I could just jump back. Oh, well. So she pays for a ticket to go on Yield Mill. Then he buys a ticket to, oh, so this is like a water ride. I already forgot. It's a boat ride. So then they're in the same boat together. She also has a really cool purse, by the way. And kind of like, you know, Journey into the Pirate's Friendship or whatever, they go off. They go fade in and they fade back out. And his hat is like messed up. So it looks like it looks like his hat got wet in the water. The same day, the National Geographic Society was sending an explorer on a scientific expedition. So now he's all down. He leaves the fair and he sees a balloon. Now, it must not be a hot air balloon. It must be a helium balloon. And there's about 15 Monopoly men, one of whom looks like Brian Cox. And they're getting this balloon ready to go up. It's got a washtub, a bunch of things, a good luck banner. They say, hey, Buster Keaton, they're like, hey, hang this banner up on the top, man. And then this person from the Explorers, like National Geographic or whatever, gets in there. And he pulls something that causes it to take off. But it, actually, there's a hole in the basket. And this is the second Buster Keaton movie with a hole in the basket. The other one was on the way to a vet appointment. But Buster Keaton was on top of the balloon when it took off with the good luck banner. And again, this, I don't know if this is pioneering, but if this is the first time, but I mean, this has been a like thing seen in action movies and probably comedies too. So he's standing on the top of the balloon. So then they cut back with the balloon and he's climbing down the balloon, and then they show Monopoly men being like, what, by my word, who makes baskets here in this silent movie era? Then Keaton gets in the basket, realizes the basket has no bottom. Then it was pretty cool, like, of him, like, trying to, like, sit himself in the basket. Then some time has elapsed, and he's, like, been in the basket so long that he's doing his laundry. But he has found a way to stand up in the basket. And he's even trying to dry his laundry. He puts out some wooden ducks because he says, I decided I want some pets and I want to make a mobile. And then, of course, he realizes there's a bird on his balloon. Then his balloon slowly, oh so gently deflates. And then he finds himself at the top of a tree covered in a balloon. And then after a little vulcanizing, the prince and the balloon pause to get their second wind, according to the word card. So then we see him working some sort of, I don't know what he's working on, some sort of pipe. I don't know if he's filling it with hot air. He also has a canoe, like a 3-part canoe, which he ties together, or maybe he found somebody else's canoe. I didn't understand that. Then we see a woman fishing, then he's getting ready to go fishing. Again, this was like I guess I'm still confused by it all. Whatever, he goes fishing, he's got waders on. I think he's doing fly fishing, though I'm not. He goes in till it's really, till he ends up swimming. He doesn't collect any fish, but his waders fill up with water. Then he does a handstand to get the water out of his waders. So that's good. He actually is good at handstands, I think from a yoga perspective. Water's really moving, so I'd say, hey, I don't think you're going to catch any fish. Then he ends up hooking his rear end, and then he hooks his rear end over a branch. And we also see this woman fishing. I think she thinks she's catching something. I don't know if it's his. At this point, he's like, his pants are falling down. He's waddling. He's got a string everywhere. He's lost his fishing pole. So then he starts fishing just by, like he's holding the fishing line by his hand. And he's out on a little isthmus or peninsula. And then he gets in the water. And it's very comedic, him moving around. I think there's even a fish. Very good humor. Then he's trying to he's using his pants like to get keep some fish moving, maybe. Then we cut back to the woman fishing. She actually catches a fish. But then in whatever this, like, just like the wicker chairs, her fish basket has a hole in it. Then we see him go up a smaller creek. He's like guiding the fish. He's saying, go this way. Then he tries to build his own dam. And I don't know. Then we see the woman is camping. Then he fully built a dam. I said, well, that's quite a good work there. The woman that was fishing is now swimming, and his dam is holding back a significant amount of water. The dam he's built is about, if he's 5'6", it's 5 feet high. Clearly kind of get an idea. He starts picking up fish. So I guess he's like blocking a small creek tributary that should go into the, was this the intro where we talked about Dawson's Creek? This could be Dawson's Creek. He's backed up. No, I think that's the next silent movie. We have the Dawson's Creek run. Okay. So in the future, Scoots will talk about Dawson's Creek. Okay, then he has a fish in his shirt, not ants in his pants. Now he's got a fish in his wader, so he's dancing around. Wader, like W-A-D-E-R-S, not a... Okay, then we see this, the woman that's fishing, she's getting ready to go for a swim. And he's still got fish in his pants. Then his dam fails. He starts swimming. But he's not very good at swimming, so he's doing a lot of flopping. I think it's his waders are so full of water. And this is a big creek to a river size thing. So he's floating around. And that's pretty funny. the female fisherman does a giant, like a very nice dive into the water, bumps into him. And then she says, what are you doing standing in my way when I'm trying to swim? Get out of my river, man. And then he goes out of the river, walking. She throws something after him. She's like, you really ruined my dive into this water. So he's like waddling away on his waders. We fade out. Fade back in. He's got a 3-piece canoe now. He's got 2 tennis rackets. I don't know if that's what he's going to use for the canoe. Oh, no, he does have a paddle, but I'm sure he'll be using his tennis rackets too. Oh, the canoe. Then he starts paddling. He doesn't realize he's still tied to shore on a stick. Then his canoe falls apart because it's made of 3 pieces that are just interconnected. I mean, I would say, you're not getting me in that canoe. So he loses 1/3 of his canoe. Then he has to go back. I don't know. I've seen those foldable canoes. So, I mean, who am I to judge, right? So we keep seeing like his not success. And then the woman who was fishing, she's actually now cooking her dinner. He finally fishes a fish. Instead of a net, he uses a tennis racket to scoop it out of the water. And he was sitting in his canoe on the shore. Okay, then he doesn't, he's not, you know, then he tries to cook the fish in the canoe on a tennis racket. Inside of 2 tennis rackets so he can flip it. So obviously that doesn't go well. That's a really good effect too. So I guess thinking about it, that this is fiction, it's really good effects. He realizes, like, I'm not supposed to have my cooking element for my fish in the canoe. Then we have a really good sequence of just a brief one where the woman who is fishing, it's actually kind of a universal experience. She pours herself like a cup of coffee or tea from her campsite, and it's very warm, so she steams out her mouth, but she kind of makes the typical faces, slightly comedic, of like if you had something too hot. Then we go back to Keaton. He's finally in the, like, now he's trying to canoe down the river downstream. And he's not doing bad in the first couple seconds. He just has to guide himself. Then we see a bunny. This point is canoe. I guess you can, oh no. Okay, so he's walking. So then we see the canoe's around his waist. And he must have canoe, what do you call that? Where you got canoe suspenders. Then we see the bunny has a baby. Then we see the bunny has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 babies. And he stops. He says, those are cute babies. But he's still walking with his canoe waistband. And then he gets back and he's paddling. Again, I don't know if this is the first time we've seen these type of effects on film, because I'm not, but if it were, like, these are common things we'd see today. I mean, I'm sure if you saw like one of the fun, like a Beta Breakers, there's probably someone running with a canoe or a kayak, right, as a suit. Then he overturns it. So there's a cool thing with his legs. Now the woman at her campsite, she's cooking dinner, maybe, or making something else. And she goes, even though this guy ruined my swim, I'll help him turn over. So she tries to throw a rope to him, but he's kind of dancing. She tosses a rope, but doesn't manage to hold on. Then she gets the boat. She turns it over. She realizes it's just his waders. Then he comes up from swimming and knocks her back in the water. But they help each other out of the water. And then they sit down on the shore. And she says, I'm cross with you. And then he spits some water out, puts his hat on, fade out again. Now we have, I guess this is going to be a big sequence. He has the canoe. and it looks like it has some sort of canopy on it or something. Then we see a bull. And the woman that was swimming has encountered a bull. So she says, this is like a, you know, prototypical thing. So come, and he has like a picnic blanket and oar. She's across the water and, okay, that's a good one. That's 16 or 17 minutes in. He jumps in the water to swim to the other side, but he like is in shallow water. So he's swimming while he's stationary. Like his belly's on the like bottom of the creek. Okay. Then we cut back. He's crossing the creek and then he's trying to be stealthy with the bull. And then he uses actually one of those squirt things with the pump that sprays a ton of water that people use in pools. And instead of the bull, he sprays her. Then he seems to use some sort of fog machine. Or maybe those, like a smoke machine or something. Then she goes up to the bull and says, "Hey, bull, let's not be cross with one another." And the bull says, "Okay." And she goes, "You know, why don't we work together? Because I'm pretty powerful." And the bull says, "Clearly you are." And then she takes off and is relieved that she's done with this bull, but that she had taken. Then she sees him. She goes, "Get over here." But he walks off in the opposite direction. And she goes, "Get over here." And he walks off again. But I think she's trying to help him. But he doesn't realize it. So then she chases him. He runs off. She goes, "Fine." But what he doesn't realize is there's another forest friend that starts to follow him. But he's clueless. So he's just walking and forest friends are following him. Then she's like getting firewood ready. So we see her getting firewood ready. Even chop, chop timber, she says. That's a game I used to play in my bed. He's still walking, being followed by a forest friend. But I will pause it to tell you what chop, chop timber was. So chop, chop timber was a game me and my siblings would play. But I shared it on the podcast many, many years ago. And apparently I didn't make it up. I thought I did, but someone must have taught it to me, or it's a ubiquitous game. You can play it as an adult, though it's been a while, but I will play it after. I swear I'll play it after recording. But now, if you check, like if a hotel has its own TV channel or they pay like people to do like hotel reviews, people do a reverse where they fall into the bed. I don't know. My daughter and I, we went to Universal maybe, I don't know, not like we watched their TV channel, their hotel TV channel only has like one loop, like a 2-minute loop, and the family, 80% of the loop is the family like doing selfies of them falling into the beds, but they fall backwards. But I've seen it in other like YouTube videos too. But a chop chop timber is different. It's so when we were kids, we had twin beds, obviously, or maybe not obviously. This must have been pre bunk beds because you can't do it in a bunk bed. So you stand at the head or the foot of your bed. Obviously, you want to make sure you have enough clearance. So you want to be a kid that's shorter than the length of your bed. Now, you don't have to stand elevated. You could just stand at the head of your bed. I'm sure it would be cooler if you were elevated, but you don't have to be. And then you just take your hand, you flatten your hand out as if it was some sort of chopping device. And then you chop yourself. That's it. You go chop, chop timber, and then you fall forward like a tree. So you just chop yourself at the I would chop myself at the midsection so that I could stand upright. I guess technically you'd want to chop yourself at the ankles. But you're chopping yourself because if someone else is chopping you, you probably couldn't, you know, just be like, don't chop me like that, man. But I guess if you saw me chopping, you'd say, "Scootsuit, you're falling at your ankles." And I say, I guess it's a proverbial. But yeah, you do chop, chop timber, and then you just fall forward through your natural momentum onto your bed. And that's it. Now you can do, because I would share the room, like I shared a room with my brother. So you could do it in sync. That was when it was really fun. Or if three people were doing it, or sometimes I think my sister would be in her room, so we'd do it synchronized. And that's really it. Chop, chop, timber. Yeah, it's not an exciting, you say, what kind of games, you know, what do sleep podcasters do as children to prepare to be for a career of boring people? Chop, chop, timber is one of them. It was pretty exciting to me. And now, I mean, we didn't have tablets, so any of you laughing that are younger, at some point around, even on the weekends, there was no consumable programming for children. So, and usually there was only one or two devices in your home that could consume media. So this is what we were forced to do with ourselves. That's why somebody came up with this idea of puddles being a big obstacle for people. And I realize this like is more of an idea of like whatever the warped values of our time, but not a chop chop timber. Chop chop timber is just good child like good fun. Okay, back to this video though, or movie. So he's being followed by a forest friend. He's walking casually. Then he sees a squirrel. So then he starts crawling after a squirrel. But meanwhile, a forest friend is crawling right behind him. And so they're both crawling along. And the woman who was swimming can see all this. Then Keaton tries to encounter the squirrel. He sees another forest friend who sniffs and licks him. And the other forest friend pats his behind and laughs. And then it like, then like it all works out great. He realizes actually they're not forest friends. They're people dressed up like forest friends. I don't know why that's impressive, but some reason, cause he wrote the movie himself. He says, I can't believe two people were dressed like forest friends. He's doing a lot of pacing. He rolls up one shirt, he says, but then the people are dressed moving around again. And he says, wait a second, the people are dressed as forest friends and now they're, or are they forest friends? Then they're leaning back to back. But he says, don't you realize it might be forest friends? Then they get in the canoe that has a canopy over it. He pushes it into the water. I'm presuming, so now it looks like, it's like a canoe with a canopy. They're going down the water. He leans back. Then we see the forest friend. And he's like whatever. She says, don't worry about it. Let's just float in the canal. Then he starts playing something on a ukulele. Then we see a big waterfall. Now that's like not a great effect, you know, because it's a long time ago. And the waterfall is like a model of a waterfall shot. And a little bit slower, or I don't know, different. She pecks him on the cheek. So we see, yeah, it's a model. And it's just like, not stop motion. But holy cow, actually. So this is interesting. Wow. So this is really interesting. So, and I guess it doesn't matter anymore. I'll throw this idea out. So this is the exact same idea I had for updated version of the Jungle Cruise, if they moved to like, so Disney World and Disneyland have this ride, the Jungle Cruise, right? And I guess it doesn't need to be messed with because it mostly relies on the skipper being very entertaining and doing these kind of like dad joke type jokes. And they have updated some of the animatronics, but I always thought like, oh, if they moved it to the Animal Kingdom and they wanted to do it with real animals, then they could take all the animatronics and put them in the queue. But I thought it would be cool, and this is the same thing they do here. I guess I'll play out the end of the movie because there's only 30 seconds left. So they go over the waterfall, but they stay in the air because then you realize, oh, the canoe and the thing is attached to the balloon. So you go, okay, and then that's the gimmick. But then two ends of the balloon fall off, but they start kissing, and it fades out, the end. But so the thing was that I thought that would be cool is that, so you got the Jungle Cruise, right? And it's all right, but I don't know. Recently, it's a pretty long line for it. So obviously, it doesn't need to be changed. And probably be a lot of pushback. That's why I said, if you made a new Jungle Cruise, one, you'd move it somewhere. Because at least in the, like, at both the Magic Kingdom and Disneyland, that's a big piece of land that they could use for more modern attractions. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of nostalgia and stuff, but moving it to Animal Kingdom where there's actual animals and then, I don't know, putting everything in the queue or whatever, figuring out a way to keep the animatronics. But that would be the effect that I had planned is that, so you'd be in the same kind of boat you're in, this Jungle Cruise type boat. But at some point, now I couldn't figure out how to achieve the, where, I mean, I guess everybody would know about it anyway, but I think it would be like a glass bottom boat. So you could actually go through places and see real animals. But then because they have like, what do they call that? Like a, safari type ride, like if you could have it be where somehow you gain elevation during the ride, maybe that's a part with the regular Jungle Cruise, I don't know, that you are look like you're going to go over a waterfall, but the thing is actually, what do you call that, like it's got a, it's like a gondola too, so the same effect, and then you go out over the safari ride. And you could see, like you could go over some of the enclosures or see, you know, see the animals from above. Now I know like people are always throwing stuff, so you'd have to figure out that part out too. And it would cost a bunch of money, so they'd never do it. But it would be so cool to be like in a boat and then your boat actually goes and then it's free flying, you know, so it's an actual floating boat. And a gondola. So it's cool to see it, you know, that Buster Keaton already figured that out a long time ago as an effect for the movie. So let me just try to figure out, though, this Funhouse Man, because I really would love to check it out. But I don't know how to Google something that's so generally House of Trouble Funhouse. That doesn't work. House of Trouble. Let's try Amusement. Amusement Park. House of Trouble. There's Funhouse. Something about other things. Mysteries. Mattel. Okay, House of Trouble, Boardwalk, brings up stuff about Boardwalk Empire and Boardwalks. Let's just try House of Trouble, Buster Keaton, but I don't know, that'll, I mean, that just might bring up the name of the movie, Buster. House of Trouble, Buster Keaton. Oh, at the House of Trouble, I think that's just a sequence from the movie. Yeah, it doesn't bring up anything. Oh, here's Chaplin Keaton Lloyd film locations. This is a silent film locations. Let's see what this one is. Silentlocations.com by John Bengston, the great detective of silent film locations. And this is a blog, it's really deep. So. Let's see if there's just one. He does the lectures. Chaplin, Keaton, and Lloyd tours. And Hollywood Boulevard. Buster Keaton studio tour. Buster Keaton Hollywood tour. Silent Echoes tour. Harold Lloyd film location book, Silent Visions. Chaplin film location book, Silent Traces, and his Keaton film location book, Silent Echoes. And yeah, let's see. Newport Beach, Sherlock Jr., the boat. You know, let's just kind of slowly. San Francisco, Daydreams, and Navigator. Steamboat Bill, that was in Sacramento. So that might be another resource, you know, if we were actually, let's see, this one's SearsHomes.org. Buster Keaton and Sears Homes. This is a pre-cut kit house, 1920. This is another movie, ready to assemble house. But we won't ruin it. It's good in case we do it. But it's like these Sears homes were ready-cut homes, quickly, easily, economically. These are kind of things that are coming back now. And framing members were shown, marked to thing. This is a book about it by Sears, by the Sears Homes book. So yeah, a lot of like pieces of history here. But yeah, I can't find anything about this house of trouble. So maybe it was just made for the movie. Maybe if we put House of Trouble 1920, this is, we kind of roll towards the end here. House of Trouble 1920s. No, then it just brings up houses. I mean, it definitely need more rooms and more stuff to do than they had there, but still looks like it would have been a cool thing to check out. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I need to learn more about fun houses from the 1920s to, you know, get to the bottom of this. But yeah, for the time being, that's a little bit about silent film, sleeping through silent films while Scoots rambles on and on and on. Good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. I want to thank Molly, Abby, and Becca. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Carrie, Asene, and Shauna, thanks, thanks, and good night. Daniel S., Daniel R., and James, thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Regina, Alicia, and M., thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Monica, Bebop, and Mish, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Patrick, Shayna, and Jesse, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Kay, Priyanka, and Karis, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Math, Mark, and Lisa, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Dara, Emily, and Uliana, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lily, James, and Mary, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Emily, Ben, and Amanda, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Thanks everybody that supports the show directly on Patreon or through other subscriptions. And thanks everybody that supports the sponsors. And thanks everybody that sends feedback or spreads the word about the show or tries a free trial, whatever the free ways you have to support the show or interact in with stuff. I really appreciate it. And here's Scoots with a Talk You In sponsor asking for something. That's how we've gotten up to 600 ad-supported shows available free for everybody. Thanks and good night, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit Odoo.com/with me. That's Odoo.com/with me. Odoo, modern management made simple.